We're looking at Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. We'll read through verse 11 tonight. It says, "It came to pass that as the people pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Jesus entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." A draught is a large catch of fish. "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon, answering, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, when they had launched out into the deep and let down the net, it says they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink." The ships nearly sank when they filled them with all the fish they had caught, it tells us. "When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed Jesus." I want to preach to you tonight, follow Jesus, and he will make us fishers of men. Would you pray with me that the Lord would speak to us tonight, have his way, move in our hearts? Father, we thank you tonight for the opportunity to be gathered in this place. We appreciate you moving as you did this morning, and we believe that word is continuing to work in our hearts and minds and will continue throughout this week. We pray, Father, in Jesus' name now that you would speak to us here tonight as well and challenge our hearts and help us, Lord, in faith to follow you and become effective fishermen of men. And Lord, we'll give you the praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. So I want to talk about this text here tonight a little bit. And we're going to discuss a few things. We will especially discuss fishing for men. We'll also discuss faith in God with that regard of fishing for men, faith in God, forsaking one's life and following our Lord. Fishing for men, faith in God, forsaking one's life and following our Lord. The main focus of all this now being this thought of fishing for men. Now it's clear when we read the text that Jesus fully intended for us to draw a parallel from this text of what happened in the lives of these fishermen when they encountered Christ here at this time and this miraculous draught of fish, that it wasn't just about fishing or even just about the miracle, but Jesus wanted us to draw a parallel from this text concerning reaching souls. Fishing for men. Now, in my message tonight, I will talk then about fishing for men. I may even share a fishing story or two about earthly fishing, if that's all right. I may even do it even if it isn't all right tonight. But I mean, you know, I have lots of fishing stories. I grew up as a fisherman and a hunter and so forth. And it was something I spent a lot of time with. I've got lots of stories. I could spend all night telling you fishing stories, but I'm not going to do that. I want to preach the Word of God. I could spend all night and all day and all the next night preaching the Word of God. But there might be a couple of stories that just fit in here. And so if so, we'll use them. But tonight I want to focus on fishing for men. And as I said, Jesus clearly wanted us to draw this parallel from the passage. Jesus, after having, performed this miracle, really, he comes along, he uses a ship that belongs to some of his followers who have not yet been called to lay down their business and go travel with him, but they are disciples of his nonetheless. And we can look at other scripture that shows that in the Gospel of John. But nonetheless, Jesus comes along now, and these men who their livelihood at this time is fishing. Peter is mentioned, his brother is also a fisherman, James and John are mentioned, they are partners together. We're told in Scripture they have hired hands. It's a big, thriving business. It is their livelihood. It was the normal practice, by the way, in those days, that you didn't choose your livelihood, you took up the livelihood of your father. As a man at a very young age, you would be trained to take up whatever he did, and you would continue the business that your father had. Now there's this big thriving business, partners together, and servants and so forth. And they're busy working and laboring and toiling fish. Jesus comes along and finds them done for the night. Good fishermen know that one of the best times to fish is in the evening. If it's not early in the morning or at the very end of the day, then it's throughout the evening. And of course, they're commercial fishermen. It's not the kind of fishing I grew up doing. It's not the kind you do with a rod and reel. But nonetheless, the best time to take fish is at night. Peter and John and Andrew and James, their fathers, their servants perhaps too, had been out fishing. At least we know for sure that Peter and several of them had been out all night dragging the nets, not just for pleasure, for a livelihood, dragging the nets, trying to come up with some fish. They had had zero success. Nothing was caught. The night is over. It's morning. They're packing up. They're cleaning their nets. They're packing up to probably go get some rest and go and try it again tomorrow night. Jesus comes along. They know him. They know who he is. He says, I'd like for you to just take your ship out a little ways here. Instead of preaching from the land, I'd like to go out in the water a little bit where I can really project my voice out to the crowds of people. And so they take him out just a little ways out into the sea, and there he preaches. Nothing wrong with that. The nets are now no doubt neatly packed away and everything's put up. And when he's done, and certainly they're sitting and listening and feasting upon his word and so forth with the others that are crowded there on the shore. And when he's done, they're probably going to go home and get some rest. Wasn't a very good night of fishing, but we did get to hear the master speak. That's a good thing, right? Jesus gets done and he says, Simon, I want you to launch out into the deep. Take the boat way out in the sea and let down your nets to catch a massive number of fish. Now, Jesus gives them instruction and he gives them promise to go along with the instruction. I want you to launch out into the deep and let down your net. That's the instruction. The promise is, you're going to catch a large amount of fish. So that's the story to the point we've gone to. And then we see that Peter maybe questioned the idea a little bit, but he did exactly what the Master said, and he did it by faith. He obeyed the Master. The results came. The impact on Peter, on James, on John, no doubt Peter's brother Andrew, the impact was life-changing when they saw what Jesus did. How many of you know when Jesus does something, it's going to affect you? Can you say amen? So they're fishing for men. Later, that's the whole point it's going to aim toward. Peter, just like you've seen the miracle of the draught of fish here, come with me, serve me, follow me, and I'm going to make you a fisher of men. You will catch men. Souls will be snatched from the hands and the snare of Satan and won to God, is what Jesus meant. People will be saved. Amen. The lost will be redeemed. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. This illustration of what you saw me do serves a purpose for the future in your life, Peter, for the work that I've called you to do, Peter. Amen. It serves a purpose for you to be able to look back and say, the same Jesus that gave us a miraculous catch on that night, that day rather, is the same Jesus who's going to do the same thing as we work and labor to reach souls. Let's talk a little bit then about fishing for men. What does it take to effectively reach souls for Christ? What does it require? What can we draw from this passage that is a requirement that is necessary in order to be effective in reaching the lost, in bringing souls to Christ, in catching men, if you will? We all want to do that, don't we? We all want to be an instrument in God's hand to touch people's lives for Christ, to win them to Christ. We want this church filled with hungry people who have been won to Christ and are now being discipled for Christ. What's required to be effective in reaching souls that we could draw from this passage? Well, first of all, it requires hard work. Amen? It requires hard work to reach souls, to be effective in catching men, if you will. The Bible says they had toiled all night and taken nothing. Clearly, there are going to be times when we work hard and the seen results will be limited. But that's not the end of the story. Can you say amen? What if the time of unsuccessfulness in our minds was training and preparation for the results that will come? What if the results that will come could have never come without the time of hard work that seemed somewhat ineffective? We've all heard stories of missionaries who gave their lives on the mission field and saw almost nobody won to Christ and perhaps even died and felt like their life's work was a failure. Only to have someone come along and pick up where they had left off and continue the work. And perhaps, and there are some stories, I've read them, true stories. I can't think of the specific ones right now, but more than one that I have read where someone else came along and picked up and continued on. And because of the hard plowing that in the natural was unsuccessful by the first individuals, The second individuals had a great harvest, and many souls are following Christ. What we call unsuccessful because we measure success different than God is not necessarily unsuccessful at all. What if the results of tomorrow are contingent upon the labor of the past that seemed fruitless? What if the fruit to come depends on the training learned in the time of labor where we simply in faith obeyed God and did what He called us to do, but we don't do that because we're not seeing with our eyes the results we want to see? Wouldn't that be an awful thing? Amen? How important it is then that we labor to reach souls, and sometimes our labor seems unsuccessful. They didn't only labor. The only work they did was not the work they did on the day they caught the large draught of fish. They labored before that, the night before, without results. Had they not been out there the night before, they wouldn't have been at the ships to go out the next day and have the miracle. They labored to catch the fish that Jesus miraculously gave them, and they labored afterwards, not only to bring them in and bring them to land and take them out, but guess what? The real work of fishing happens when the catching is behind you. You got to clean all those fish. Amen. You've got to get them ready for the market. They've got to be sold. The work begins after the initial results, if you will. And so the bottom line is this: the ministry of reconciliation of people to God requires hard work. Peter said we toiled. He didn't say we slept with our thumbs in our mouth all night and read a book. He said we worked, we labored, we toiled all night and have taken nothing. But it isn't over, Peter. Amen. Listen, the hard work in catching men is not just to bring them to a decision for Christ. The hard work starts after they've come to Christ. Amen. It's called discipleship. Jesus said we're to go into all nations and we're to teach all men to observe. That means disciple them. It means train them. It means work with them and help them become not just people who made an initial decision of faith, but people who are being discipled, who are being trained as to how to walk with God and serve God. That's why if you are not a part of a church that is preaching the Word of God and getting rooted in a church, you are not going to grow because you must be discipled. We all have to be discipled. Can you say amen? The hard work starts afterwards. I remember when I was a kid, for some reason, being the oldest of the boys, it was my job when we caught fish or when we got, you know, game when we were hunting or whatever. It was my job when I started to get to be a teenager to clean everything we caught. And so my dad's fish, my brother's fish, it was my job to clean it all. And it's a lot of work. Amen. And getting souls going on with God. Not people who don't want to serve God. You can't disciple them into anything. But people who do want to serve God, getting them on their feet and helping them. Not giving them a hand out, but a hand up. Amen. And training them in God's work. It is work and is labor. The thing God has been impressing upon our hearts and minds here probably since May, is discipleship, discipleship, discipleship. There's a lot of work to disciple people. God promised years ago that we're going to harvest a lot of souls that need to be fed the milk of the Word of God and help them get started and walk with God. That, my friend, takes work. It takes work in prayer. It takes work in preaching. It takes work in reaching out to somebody. It takes work in being there to minister to somebody when they're struggling. It takes work in being there to minister to somebody when they're not struggling, to help them to understand the Word of God and the ways of God, and even sometimes to help them to learn natural things. With some of the people we've worked with, the natural things in life have not always been learned. And it's all a part of discipleship. It's a lot of work, but it is good work. Amen? And not everybody you try to disciple is going to make it. They're not all going to stay the course. But some are. Amen? And we're going to reach out and minister to everybody that God gives us the heart and the time and the ability to reach out to. Oh, God knows how to lead us and guide us and direct us to not spend our wheels spinning for somebody who doesn't want God, to try to convince them to want God, while somebody who wants God is going unhelped. God knows how to guide us with our time and our work and our efforts to those souls that want Jesus, and as to how to help them to serve the Lord. But it is work. Can you say amen? It's always sad when you're fishing in the natural and there's the one that got away. Can I tell you a couple stories about natural fishing, about the fish that got away? The first one is the stringer of fish that got away. I'm out in the boat as a teenager and I'm fishing and I'm catching fish and I'm catching some nice fish. In fact, one of the biggest yellow perch I ever caught in my life. And then another big one behind that. And some other fish. I don't remember. There were half a dozen. There might have been a good-sized pickerel and a nice bass. Pickerel are not a fish. In fact, yellow perch are not a fish you see around here. But you know what bass are, if you know anything about fishing at all. And I had a stringer of maybe half a dozen fish or more. And I'm thinking, man, I can't wait till I get these fish home and show everybody what I've caught. Man, this has been a great catch of fish. And what we would do is we would put them on a stringer. And to keep them fresh, we would hang them off the back of the boat and tie the stringer to the back of the boat. And they would be there in the water. It was just a rowboat. And it would keep them fresh. And we'd take the stringer out, put another fish on that you caught. When you're all done, take it out and take it home. The only thing was, unbeknownst to me, which I should have known, but I didn't get the stringer tied very well to the back of the boat. And I begin to row the boat, and I look, and there's my stringer of fish, half a dozen or more of some of the nicest fish I'd caught in a long time, and it's disappearing in the dark water. And I try to reach and grab the stringer, and it's gone. All those fish, gone. They're gone. They're lost. And I was just heartbroken. All those fish I was going to show, it wasn't the one that got away. It was like the seven fish that got away all at once. And I had them. I want to tell you something. It's far more sad when we brought somebody to Jesus and we watched them drift away. There was nothing I could do as I watched those fish sinking into the water. They were gone. My stringer was gone. My fish were gone. All I had was the story to tell. But you know, thank God, even when a soul drifts away, our prayers, if we can't do anything else, our prayers can make a difference. Can you say amen? Because that stringer of fish doesn't matter. But that soul for Jesus does matter. Amen. And there may be other ways that we can reach them. We've got to do what we can to reach them. Another one about the one that got away. I guess I was somewhere between the age of 14 and 16. Early spring. I mean, I was so dedicated, it didn't have to be warm out. It was still cold, but you never know. The fish might be biting. Early spring in Vermont. Bitter cold yet. I ride my bicycle about a mile or so to the power plant where we like to fish down where the river, the Clyde River ran into Little Plunkett Pond. And so I go stand on a point of land where we often fished, and I'm fishing there. And I don't know what I'm going to catch, if anything. It's cold out, but I'm fishing. And next thing you know, I tie into something. And I begin to bring this fish in against the current. And I get it up close, and much to my surprise, something we rarely caught, a landlocked salmon, and a big one. 22 inches long would be my guess. Big landlocked salmon. And I'm pulling him in, and I'm getting him close, and I realize I forgot my net. I'm not going to let this fish get away. I don't even know when the last time was I caught a salmon, and this is the biggest one I've ever seen. And so I'm bringing him in with my reel, and I'm getting him close. I had caught him on a rappella, on a lure, and I see that lure is just barely in his mouth, but he's not going to get away. And I bring him up close, and I'm going to grab him. Unfortunately, I don't have a net, and I actually got in the water a little bit. It's bitter cold, 40 degrees out in Vermont, okay, in early April. And I got in the water and I got my hand around him to pick him up, trying to get his gill. Couldn't get his gill. Got my hand around him, though, and he went like this, and the hook from the lure caught on my shirt sleeve, and he got off and dropped in the water, and he was stunned for a minute, and he sat still there in the water, and I jumped in to try to grab him. That fish was not going to get away from me, but he did. Swam right through my hands and was gone. I'm wet. I've got to go home and change my clothes. It's too cold to stay outside soaking wet. So I take my, but I'm going to keep fishing. There might be more like that in there. So I take my fishing rod and my fishing equipment. I hide it in the woods so nobody will touch it. I get on my bicycle and ride as fast as I can to get home. I get home and my dad is home. I tell him, Dad, I just almost caught the biggest salmon I've ever seen in my life. Oh, no, you didn't, son. There's no salmon in that river. There hasn't been salmon in that river for years. No, Dad, really? Oh, I don't think so. I'm determined. I'm going to catch another one. And this time I'm going to be prepared. Are you prepared to reach souls? I'm determined I'm going to catch another one. This time I'm going to be prepared. I'm not going to leave my net home this time. It's coming with me. I go back down to get my warm clothes on, get all those wet clothes off. My dad's like, oh, you're not going to catch another one. Oh, I'm sure going to try. So I go back down to that same spot, use the same lure, fishing in that same spot. This time I've got my net beside me. I'm ready, man. And guess what? I tied into another big salmon. Just like the one I caught before. It wouldn't have been the same one because his mouth was sore. He's not going to eat the rest of the day. It's another one. And I brought him in and I got him up close and I stepped in the water with that net. This time I'm ready. That fish is not going to get away from me. And I scooped up that big salmon in that net and couldn't believe my eyes at this salmon. And indeed he was over 22 inches long, a beautiful landlocked salmon. And I brought him home to my dad and showed him. I wanted to prove my dad wrong. There are salmon in there. I caught one and I brought this one home. This is not the story of the one that got away. Guess what? It wasn't 10 minutes and my dad had his fishing gear in his hand and he was dressed up and ready to go. And he's going to go down there and he caught two more. It turned out that somewhere in the Clyde River they were releasing salmon that had been raised in the fish hatchery. And there were a bunch of 22-inch salmon swimming around there. My dad caught two more that day. But I want to ask you a question. Are you that determined to reach a soul for Jesus Christ, that you're going to prepare your heart and prepare yourself? If you think it takes skill to catch fish,
Let me tell you, it really takes skill. I know some people don't think it takes skill at all. All it takes is a jerk on one end of the line waiting for a jerk on the other end of the line. But in reality, fishing takes skill. Reaching souls takes skill. Skill that you learn from the Holy Spirit and yielding your heart to Him. The Bible says that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that wins souls is wise. The word actually means skillful. The person that wins souls is skillful. Listen, I usually caught a lot of fish because I was skilled. I worked hard at it. I put everything into it. Other people, I'd be the one that would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Forget breakfast. You know I'm into something if I don't eat, even back then. Forget breakfast. To go out there and try to catch that big fish. Because I was into it. I wanted to catch him. And I'd be out there before the sun was up. Couldn't get my best friend to get out there like that. Couldn't get my brother. If I did, I was practically dragging him out of bed. Oh, no, I'll go later. But I was dedicated to it. How dedicated are you and how skillful are you at winning souls to Jesus Christ? Not because you've learned some skill you've read in a book somewhere, but you're reading the Word of God and you're yielding your life to Christ and you're crying out to God for souls and you're preparing your heart in His presence. And God is teaching you and you're reaching out to people. I heard a story, someone that told me one time they worked beside someone in the plant for years. And that person telling me the story was a Christian. And the person they worked next to was lost. And 10 years later, he got saved and found out the guy that worked right next to him was a Christian and never told him about Jesus. He said, "Why didn't you tell me? I might have got saved a lot sooner. I didn't even know you were a Christian." Can you imagine? Now, I don't think we're on the job paid to go around and preach to people. And you've heard these horror stories of people who don't do their job. They think they're supposed to be there to preach to everybody, right? And they're like, "I wouldn't want that person working for me." They don't even do their job. They're running around with a Bible in their hand trying to preach to everybody. Listen, you don't have to do that to win a soul to Jesus on the job. All you got to do is love Jesus. Live different because you're a follower of Christ. And the opportunities will avail themselves if you care about souls. And you're looking for the lost. And you're letting God teach you the skills that are necessary. You'd be surprised at the opportunities that are there. And you're not doing anything that would cause the company in the least to be disappointed in your work. Amen. You're the best employee you can be because you do that for Jesus too. Can you say amen? But I want to tell you something. Reaching souls requires hard work and discipling them and helping them get started and walk with God requires hard work. The easiest part is standing behind the pulpit and preaching to them. Amen. That's the easiest part. It takes more than that. The second thing it requires to effectively reach souls, and we can see it from this text, is it requires the power of God. We've got a night and a day in contrast. The night in which they toiled with everything they knew. They were experienced fishermen. They worked and labored and did everything they could. I guarantee you they were not out there playing games. This was their livelihood. They wanted to catch fish and they labored all night. And the power of God was not behind what they did. And they caught nothing. That doesn't mean they never caught fish any other time. But this time God was wanting to teach him a lesson about catching souls. And I just happen to imagine in my heart and mind, it was no coincidence that they caught nothing that whole night.
I just have to believe in my heart and mind that this whole story didn't start the next day, that God orchestrated this from last night when they were catching nothing to teach them about winning souls for Jesus and about the power of God that was going to cause them to have a miraculous draw to fish and to teach them about faith. Amen. And so they had worked and labored all night and taken nothing. There was no power of God. There was no miracle of God. There was nothing wrong with what they were doing. They just needed something more. But Jesus was going to introduce that something more. Can you say amen? And so during the middle of the day, after Jesus has seen them fixing up and cleaning up their nets and putting it all away, then launches out into the, you know, just a little ways out to teach the people who he's been teaching already, it might have been noontime. It was late in the day. You don't go fishing. Well, some people go fishing all the time, anytime. But you don't look for the best time to go fishing to be the middle of the day. But it was going to be the best time because the power of God was going to back this time. Can you say amen? This wasn't going to be man's ingenuity. It was going to be the power of Almighty God. And so we see that Jesus said, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a draw. And this is where faith in God came in. Peter could have said, that's stupid. I'm not going to do that. That's a waste of time. Peter did recognize the natural. We labored all night and took nothing. But at your word, we'll do it again. Amen. Listen, the last thing you would have wanted to have done then is take out all your nets that are all cleaned up and fixed and put away, all your equipment that's all put away, and you want to go rest now and perhaps go out again tonight, hoping that you'll get something tonight. The last thing you want to do is go through all that work of what you've already done and seen no results and go do the same thing again now in the middle of the day. There is no way in the natural you'd want to do that. But in spite of a few things, in spite of Peter's past non-success, if you will, last night, in spite of his professional experience that would have told him this is not even the time of day to go, in spite of his personal desire that would have been, no, I don't want to do this. It's a lot of work for no reason. In spite of all that, and based on only one thing, the word of Jesus, and that's enough. Can you say amen? He went out. Based on that one thing. Oh, the Lord can tell us and direct us and guide us. And we can say, oh, that's pointless. That just won't work. If God said it, I'm going to do it. Can you say amen? If God's guiding, I'm going to follow Him. And the results that he wants are up to him. But I'm going to obey. And somewhere, when God moves, what God has promised is going to happen. Can I tell you, this work was started on a promise. Bethany Revival Center was started on a promise from God. I am going to give you a great outpouring of the Spirit in Wichita with a great harvest of souls. It doesn't matter whether that's happened yet or not. The best is yet to come. Can you say amen, Sister Judy? Hallelujah. Can you say amen, church? God gave us a promise. If it was up to me, I'd have done it 20 years ago. But it doesn't change a thing. If it was up to Peter, he probably would have caught half the fish the night before too. But it wasn't up to Peter. It was up to Jesus. Jesus said, I don't care what you think. Do it. And Peter said, Lord, if you said it,
I've got nothing else to go by, but you're guiding me. I'm going. And I want to tell you something. When we go at the command of the Lord's results will happen. I was taught by the example of Brother Daly to preach the, and it's a good example, preach the Word of God, preach the power of God, expect in your faith that the results will come. And I'm going to believe, and I do believe, that God will back His Word, and God is going to move, and people are going to be touched, and lives are going to be changed. I believe God. Can you say amen? And may you be one of them. May the power of the Holy Ghost get a hold of you. And get a hold of you to get a hold of someone else too. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. Faith in God. Soul winning requires hard work. It requires the power of God to be effective. Amen. It requires the power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Father draws him. The Father which is in heaven must draw him. Peter, when you go out fishing this time, God is drawing the fish to your net. You're still going to go out and labor. You're still going to throw the same old nets into the same old water, trying to do the same old things, but you ain't going to get the same old results because the Holy Ghost is moving. Can you picture the Spirit of God? I mean, this is just the way I think now. The Spirit of God out there guiding those fish to come into those nets. They're like, man, I'm trying to go that way and something's moving me this way. I'm trying to run away and something's directing me and I find myself going right into those nets and I don't know why. Can you picture the Holy Ghost drawing those fishes right into the net? Come on, somebody say amen and praise God. Hallelujah. I mean, what was making those fish go into those nets? Was it just a coincidence? Did it just happen? Did they just happen to be in the right spot? Well, if they did, it was because the Lord led them there. But I just see those fish being guided by the Spirit of God right into that net. And before you know it, Peter is dumbfounded. He's pulling on the nets. He's like, guys, I can't even pull a net. If it's like natural fishing, you ever tie into a big fish that's so big, at first you think you're caught on a log? I've had it happen a few times. And you're trying to pull your lure off that log, and all of a sudden you realize that log is doing this. It's not a log. It's a big fish. I don't know for sure, but I can imagine that maybe Peter was pulling and like, oh, guys, you better slow this boat down. I think we're caught on something. And then he's like, wait a minute. This thing is moving. It's not we're caught on something. We've caught something. Guys, help me. Get these ropes hooked onto the pulleys. Let's start pulling. Oh, man, the ropes are starting to break. Hey, call our friends. Man, we've got a bunch of fish. We've never had so many fish in the net before in our entire fishing career. Probably dead Zebedee and Peter and Simon's dad, Peter and Andrew's dad as well, were probably like, man, I've never seen it like this before. Boys, this is fishing. Can you say amen? We're catching them fish like never before. Because God was on the move. Because the power of God is required to reach souls. Oh, you can draw people to something, but you can't draw them to true, genuine, saving faith in Jesus Christ by something other than the true, genuine power of the Holy Ghost. Send it on down, Lord. Send it on down. Amen. Lord, send the Holy Ghost down. Lord, send your power to consume our lives, to
burn out the sin and chaff in our lives, to get a hold of us, that we might see a mighty harvest, a mighty outpouring of the Spirit of God with a great harvest of souls. Lord, make us fishers of men. We're following you. And Lord, we need your power. Somebody said, well, I've never seen some of the things you might be talking about. Is it written in the Word? Did they have 3,000 saved in one day? Then God can save whatever He wants to add to the church today. Can you say amen? So let's look and say, hey, if I've never seen it in practice, I see it in His Word. I'm going to believe that the power of the Holy Ghost at work through you and me can impact the lives of the lost all around us and compel them to come into your house, that your house might be full. Can you say amen? Listen, and I told you, in spite of Peter's past unsuccessfulness, his professional experience that told him this wasn't the time to go, and his personal desire, I think, would have been to go home and go to bed, because there's no more fish to be caught today. We'll do it another day. In spite of all that, he acted in faith. Nothing else but the Word of Jesus, and that's enough. Man, if we don't hear the Holy Spirit just really speaking to us, then what are we hearing? Oh, God is inspiring us and instructing us. Launch out into the deep. Amen. Go out into the deep things of God. And in the process, you'll let down your net. And you'll see souls touched for Christ. Peter said, at thy word, I'll do it. At thy word, Master. That's all he had to go on. And that's enough. Can you say amen? Jesus said it, I believe it. It's His Word, it cannot lie. If it's written in the Bible, I'll believe it till I die. Amen? If Jesus said that He gave us the Holy Spirit that we might be witnesses unto Him, then we need to take the Holy Ghost that God has given us and let Him fill our lives through and through, and believe that God is going to use our life to touch others for Christ. Can you say amen? Faith in God. It's interesting that the word launch, which simply means here in this text to thrust out to sea or return, it also means, it can mean, or rather it's not launch, but rather the word into the deep. The word deep, which means depth or height, used of the deep sea, it's also metaphorically used to speak of the deeper things of God. Did you ever think that one life that launches all out into the deeper things of God can be one life that impacts the lives of every person that God wants you to touch for Jesus Christ? You and I may not be called to preach to tens of thousands of people, as some individuals that we may know are. But God isn't measuring based on how many you preach to or how many respond. He's measuring based on our faithfulness to Him. Amen. And all I want to do when I get to heaven is see that everybody that God intended for me to reach is there with me. It doesn't have to be tens of thousands. Just everybody He wanted me to reach. Peter acted in faith, and God brought the results. Now, when they came back to shore, when they came back to shore, finished hauling all these fish in, and you notice, and I should back up a little bit, because I told you three things that it requires: the hard work, the power of God. Can I tell you this? It also requires a team effort to win souls and disciple them for Jesus, to be a fisher of men. The Bible tells us, verse 7, they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them.
And they came and they filled both ships. A team effort. You are needed. If your primary job is cleaning the toilets at the church, that's a part of winning souls for Christ. Amen? And you're needed. It may be that souls come into church and they like the word, but they don't like the stink in the bathrooms and they don't come back. I mean, it takes a team effort. Can you say amen? There's not a stink in the bathrooms. I'm saying if the bathrooms weren't clean. Do you understand? I'm just trying to make an illustration that every part of the job is necessary and every person. Listen, it was all hands on deck. It wasn't enough to have the people that normally worked on Peter's ship here. They needed the others to come. It was going to be a team effort. Only as they worked together and pulled together could they bring in the fish. And can we bring in the souls that God wants us to harvest? Your part playing an instrument, your part worshiping in church, your part whatever. I mean, there's so many parts that we fill. Your part is vital. Not as a rogue renegade that just does whatever, but as a part of a unit, a part of a team. Amen? A part of a living organism called the local church that's part of the big organism of the Church of Jesus Christ that's functioning together in the work of God. Are you ready? Are you ready for a harvest? Are you ready for souls for Jesus? Is God getting everything in order for harvest? We've been praying for more help besides all of us doing our part. We've been praying for more help. We have a lot for a tiny church. We have a lot going. We've been asking God. And you know what? Back in June, July, August, somewhere in there, my wife was in prayer saying, Lord, we're asking you to give us help. And God spoke to her and said, I'm going to give you the help that you require. That's all of us are doing so much. Amen. A lot of us are doing a lot. And we can only do so much. But God said, I'm going to give you the help you need. Bring it on, Lord. Amen? You want to pray about something as we're praying to compel souls to come into the kingdom. You be praying that God would give us all the help we need, both in the person of all us who are doing so much and sometimes feel quite overworked, don't we? Man, you're preaching in the jail, you're reaching out at work release, you're bringing people to church in your personal vehicle or the church vehicle. We're doing something. You're reaching out to people. We're all doing something. We need help, God. And look how God brought help from another ship to come and help them in what they were doing. I believe God is in the business right now of putting everything together we need to be successful in the work that God has called us to do. Can you say amen? I believe God is on the move. Let's be much in prayer here. Going on to the last two thoughts in this message. Forsaking one's life and following our Lord. The disciples come back dumbfounded, blown out of the water. No pun intended. Blown out of the water at the amazing draught of fish that they have caught. But really blown out of the water at the miracle of God. They knew this was God. Can you say amen? This is not man. This is God. This is not our fishing skill and prowess. This is God. We wouldn't have even gone out again. We've never seen it like this before. This is God. How'd you like to see something in your life, in your home, in our church that you're looking and you're saying, man, This is God. Who but God? This is the Lord. It's the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in His eyes. All we've got to do to have that is what the disciples did when they saw this one miracle. Jesus said to them, you're going to catch men. The Bible says they forsook all. Now, God hasn't called us all to forsake our livelihood, but He has called us all to forsake our life, to take up the cross and follow Jesus. Many of you are going to work in your livelihood and there flourish and blossom and touch lives as well as outside of there. Amen. There are some people God has called, as He had these men, to give up their livelihood, to take up that call on their lives. You know what's an amazing thing to find? Is when you find people who are actually taking up the call God has laid on their lives. When there are people who are actually saying, Lord, I'm willing to give up everything this world offers because You have called me to. Not talking about sinful stuff. I'm just talking about life. Like when the Lord spoke to my wife a year into our marriage, maybe less, and said to her, would you be willing to give up all this? God had given us what to us was a very nice place. Wasn't riches or anything, but it was nice. We were in a home church that was flourishing that we loved. We were working for the Lord and building our lives, and the last thing we were thinking about was leaving there to come to Kansas. And God said to my wife, she said, I was praying today, I'm going back many years now, and she said, the word came into my left ear. I heard it. And God said, would you be willing to give all this up to take up my call on your life? And she said, without batting an eye, I said, yes, Lord. People who are willing to forsake jobs and willing to forsake homes and willing to lay down their life to take up the call of God that's upon their life are not found everywhere. First of all, not everybody's called to lay down their livelihood and give up their homes. Amen? And second of all, many who are called are not really sold out and willing to do it. And I'm not saying that as a boast for Judy and myself. I'm saying that as a thank God for those that are willing to lay down their lives, to take up the call that's upon their life, and do whatever God has called them to do. And I believe there's some right here. I believe there's some sitting here that if God asked you to quit your job and go full-time into the ministry, you would do that. But He hasn't asked you to do that. He hasn't asked everybody to do that. But if He did, would you be willing? And what do you think about folks who He's called to that, who are willing? We must forsake our lives, and we must follow Jesus. Jesus told them in Matthew 4:19, a recounting by Matthew of the same account, and I'm getting ready to close. He said unto them, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. Are you willing and are you forsaking your own life to follow Jesus Christ? Then you can be effective in whatever capacity God has called you to touch lives and have a great impact upon them for Jesus Christ. Fishers of men. Can you say amen? Would you stand with me to your feet? Stretch your hands toward heaven. Hallelujah. To the question, are you willing to forsake anything to follow Me? That question from Jesus. Is your answer a resounding yes? You know, it's amazing to me when you meet people say, oh, I would do anything. I'd give up my home. I'd give up my job. I'd do anything. But they won't give up their pet sin. Don't tell me you'd give up your home and give up your job if you won't give up your sin. Amen? Start there. But are you willing to give up anything and everything to have and do whatever Jesus wants you to have and do and be. God is looking for people who will follow Him, and He will make them fishers of men. I'd like to especially see those who feel a call of God upon their lives. It doesn't have to be a call to full-time ministry. You may not necessarily feel called to give up your job, give up your home. But you know God has called everyone to be a disciple who must forsake all that they have to follow Him in their heart. And so whatever it takes to do what God has called you to do, you're willing. And you want to step out and you feel a call. Listen, we're all called, really. I think in one sense, this is all of us. We're all called to some aspect of ministry. Amen. We're all called to fill our part and fill our role and work together with the team to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe in 2020, we're going to see that happening in ways that we've never seen before as we follow Jesus. And if you feel in your heart that you want God to have His way in your life, that you're willing to lay down anything He asks you to lay down to follow Him and work for Him and go all out for Him, and I want you to come. And not only those who feel a call of God upon their life, but just those who say, Pastor, I just want to follow Jesus. I just want to be His disciple, whatever that means. I don't know what He's called me to do. I'm not even thinking about that right now, but I want to serve Him. Would you come and would you slip out of your seat and come down and present your life to the Lord? Present your heart and yourself to God. Say, Lord, I want You and I want all that You have for my life. Oh, let's come. I heard the story as people are coming. The young boy that sat in church and they were taking the offering. And the young boy said, Lord, I don't have any money for the offering. And the Lord said, no, but you can put yourself in that offering plate. You don't have to have money to put in an offering. You got a life to give to Jesus, and that's all He wants. Would you come and give yourself and lay down your life, whether you're young or old, rich or poor, it doesn't matter, whoever you are. Would you come to these altars and give your life to Jesus, or give it to Him more fully to follow Him and do what He'd have you to do?